Everybody to the Paraffins podcast. It's our first in-person video podcast, which is kind of crazy. We've been doing this now for almost 3 years. As always, I'm your host, Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week not only by my wonderful co-host.
I'm Michael Smith. You can find me on Instagram at underscore Smithstagram.
And we are joined this week by a very special guest, as I guess I'm sure you can see, Zach of Basket Case. It's been what, like 2 years since the first interview?
Three.
Yeah, it's been 3 years. Has long really time, been? Bro. Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so
I would like to point out that not everyone will be watching this.
No,
but some of you can't see that, and that's okay. Welcome. Yeah. Zach, as many of you probably know, is responsible for Basket Case Gallery, the brand that I think we've talked about quite a few times on here.
Yeah.
And he just finished doing a pop-up in New York. Or not finished. I guess you've extended it by a little bit. But
yeah, it's pretty much done now.
We're wrapping up.
Yeah.
It's been 2 days. How's it been?
It's been good. It's been super good. Saturday was crazy. I was like, it's super crazy. It's like overdrive, fight or flight. Everybody's just sort of like trying to figure out how to make it work, which is like a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday has been a little bit more chill. But it's been great. It's been a super good 2 days. I'm super happy with the turnout.
I've been really like divorced from social media. How long did you guys extend it for? Just tomorrow or just two tomorrow. More days?
Yeah, we just planned it for 3 days this time. We negotiated when we were like finding spots. Basically, we were like, oh, what if we could just do it for 2 days? And then they were like, okay. They were like, what about 3 days? And they're like, okay. We were like, what about 4 days? They were like, chill out. It actually works for us a lot of times when we're trying to find these leases on short terms, because a lot of these spaces in New York are on month to month anyways. So sometimes when you call them on the first and you're like, hey, what about in 3 weeks? We know you have no leases going. You can kind of finesse a few day rates, and, you know, so we did our best out here. So tomorrow will be our last day. We're just doing a half day on Monday.
Nice.
So it'll be good.
I'm sure you've thought about this, and I think we talked about this 3 years ago, but would you ever want to like an established brick and mortar? Has the experience of having a pop-up made you more keen on having something in person, like something, you know, physical? I know you operate a lot out of or off of Instagram and on your website, but is there any sort of allure to having an in-person space?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that we wouldn't be against the idea of doing brick and mortar in New York, but we have a studio space in California, in Costa Mesa. It's like basically our creative studio that like stays a mess, and then we just open it on the weekend. But it's kind of like an antsy retail motto. The page for it is like a private Instagram page, and we try and keep it a little bit more like low-key, because all the pop-ups and the collections and these moments are like these massive rollouts where we're trying to create big impact and sort of create a moment and make it feel special. And so like part of it is trying to keep part of the brand sort of discoverable and low-key. Yeah. And like maybe there's a world where we could do something like that in New York. I think the hardest part is just that a lot of our operations is out of LA County.
Yeah.
And I feel very connected to our team and whatnot. And I think the only world that would function would be me essentially coming out here by myself and maybe like kind of running a small operation out of here for a year, 2 years time. And I like our team too much to kind of leave everyone, I think. But I don't know. You never know. Sometimes maybe there'll be an opportunity that comes up that we don't have to create for ourselves. And maybe that could be it, but Yeah.
It's also like you guys do fit checks in like 2 seconds.
Yep,
but
I totally forgot.
You guys do like infrequent online store openings also. Like you're sort of keeping Is that like production limited, or that's like?
Yeah, I think it's like honestly, the release schedule originally was born out of the project being in my dorm room and not having enough money to front a ton of production. And so, like, the idea was that I could, you know, front enough to get some screen printing or DTG samples. And then I would do all the editorial with, like, my friends in college. And then we would just, you know, release it on the website for the weekend, which is now, like, a very common model to see brands do, like, these pre-order windows. But at the time, it was sort of, like, a bit taboo for us to do it. But it really served us early on. So it's kind of one of those things where we just try and not fix something that's not broken.
Yeah.
It also like allows us to really concentrate effort on like the presentation of like, oh, I got a note from our producer.
What's up?
He said, bring my knee down because it's in front of my face. It allows us to like really focus on doing like the best job possible of producing a product. Because I think often in fashion, if you just subscribe to sort of like what is traditional, there's always an opportunity to take a better photo, to like make a better pant. But when you have these release windows where you're like, in 6 weeks, we're going to release 10 products, it's almost like a due date. It kind of helps me creatively to have like an end point of like whatever's done at that point is what we're going to release. And it also like gives you a really tangible point to like see how it does and improve from. So I think that's it. I mean, a part of it is in some ways maybe manufactured scarcity in like terms of time windows. I'm not trying to do it from like a dishonest place. Sometimes we really don't have enough like time.
I feel like it's manufactured scarcity in a non-exclusionary way.
It's
exciting for people that they can like be there at the right time to get this item, but it's not like if you're not there with a bot first thing in the morning, you're not getting your jeans. Like it's like it, you know, I feel like it's like special in some way.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, we try to not be super exclusive in the vibes at like the pop-up and whatnot. We try and make sure everyone feels like they can totally ask whatever questions they want or anything like that.
Yeah. You were at the front for the last 48 hours just like talking to everybody.
Yes, sir. Social Zach, man. It's more conversation than I do in these 2 days than I do for like months on end. So my social battery at the end of this is like completely fried. But it's good. You guys are getting me. Yeah, I was gonna say you guys
are done.
You guys got me at like the very end of my social battery. I have like no filter at this point, so it could go south. I'm just kidding.
All right, we should do some fit checks. You wanna run us through? You've done this before.
It's the first video one. You can't lie.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, you can't lie. give us a spin.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna do that. do you guys go top down or excuse me, bottom up?
How do you feel? Do middle out? Whatever's in
middle out.
I'm gonna go bottom up. I'm in Vans, authentic checkered, very expensive. I'm wearing our first distressed denim, and I'm in a mid '90s Ramones T-shirt.
Nice.
I have a Homer chain on, and every year our staff gets a bootleg watch that we make. So I'm in our AP something, and I'm not a big watch guy, but every year we make 5 like really ostentatious bootleg watches. And that's it. That's all I'm wearing.
You're in the audio pigot.
Audio pigot. Yeah.
I got Birkenstocks and socks, which is a classic combo for me.
Nike socks like that.
Yeah, I've been like, I went on vacation for 2 weeks, like walking around so much that my feet hurt. And I'm just tired of wearing like hiking boots or running shoes that I want to wear. Comfortable, like crunchy outside granola house shoes everywhere, which is great. So that's working for me. I've got bootleg Capital shorts on because on principle, I can't pay $300-$400 for a pair of shorts.
I thought they were real.
How can you make fun of fakes as much as you do and also be like, on principle, I can't pay $300?
Well, because I'm not selling them to like kids on Grailed, right?
Oh,
like,
that's your problem?
Yeah. No, all I'm right. Like, I'm completely, one, open about it. Two, I've had these for like 3 years. I'm not just chucking them the second they like stop being cool. And then third of all, like, I don't know, they were like $20 on Taobao. Like, you know, I'm sure, you know, the sweatshop that produced these was not necessarily ethically, you know, ethically
good.
Functioning. However, I feel bad about that. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
I've stopped. I've grown as a human being. And listen, like,
this is not who you are anymore. All right.
You got me from a dark time. And then I've got like a Terry polo.
Yeah.
And then my Boston Red Sox hat, which has now come with me to five continents. I need South America and Antarctica to complete the trifecta.
Is there only seven continents? Cool. I forgot, man. I haven't done geography in like 20 years.
Can I see your elementary school diploma?
Today I am wearing fake Mastodon Adidas Rick Owens fake? Ramones. Not Ramones, sorry. Sock sneakers. Fake Rick Owens Moody basketball shorts. A fake Rick Owens shirt with a picture of Rick getting fucked by a horse on it.
I'm so hungry, I could
fake Rick Owens arm warmers. A lot of fake Chrome Hearts. And a fake Parts of 4 chain that is fake, made out of a single fake piece of wood.
Oh,
wait. These basketball shorts are my favorite, bro.
Yeah, they're really cool.
These are one of my favorite Rick Owens pieces.
It is a bit sad ones. You don't play basketball.
I'm kidding. I just found a good way to lie on the video.
Yeah.
I have these, and then these are my summer basketball shorts, and then in the winter I have the leather ones of the exact same like.
I can't find the non-leather ones in my size.
And if you find the leather ones, they're like $3,000 or some shit.
They're so expensive, bro.
I got these for $200 on the Real.
Dang.
I got the leather ones for $200 on the Real.
Dang. Plug in the Real. Sponsor this podcast, the Real.
Except fuck the Real.
Okay, fuck the Real.
they hired all the people who like know about shit now, so you can't get cheap stuff
anymore.
Yeah,
they're a little smarter now.
Yeah.
All the Rick shit that gets posted. If it gets posted for cheap, it's because someone is fixing it behind the scenes and they're going to buy it the second it drops.
Damn. Yeah.
Allegedly.
I mean, I believe it. It happens. What do you mean allegedly?
I believe it.
I'm just protecting us from when Mr. Real listens to this podcast.
The Real sponsor this podcast.
Hey, yeah, if you want us to stop talking
give them both a $2,500 credit a month to promote your product.
That'd be great.
So that Saul can stop wearing fake capital.
Get please, this man some real capital. God.
So please. Part of why I'm wearing fake capital is I don't have access to my apartment, which I won't go into on video and on audio because I might because be in legal proceedings. But I have one pair of shorts like this, and then all the other ones are like dirty from vacation. So these are my only clean shorts.
I feel like you consistently have a like, this is why I can't access my wardrobe story.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah. I'm constantly putting myself in situations and problems.
I love being in situations.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, okay, hopping back on topic. I did have a question, then we diverted to the fit check. So I remember, and correct me because I may not have the number perfect in my brain. A couple of months ago, or maybe a year ago, you guys said that you wanted to release 1,000 new items. Is that still something that's on the radar and being worked on? Or is
who
that
told
like
you
work?
That?
I have my sources. I pay attention to things.
Wait, 1,000 new items? What?
I thought that you posted on the Instagram, you had this collage of
pieces in
project
told.
or sorry, works in project, or Jesus, works in progress, pardon me, or like a wall of concept images. Maybe it's just like me putting numbers in my head, but I swear that there was something that's like, we're coming out with a bunch of new stuff. Not necessarily.
I heard it was 10,000.
Yeah. I heard it was a million.
Yeah. The next collection has 100,000 SKUs in it. Okay. I'm trying to compete with
Shein.
Boohoo Man. Boohoo Man is my number one competitor and who I aspire to be.
You know, I think a lot of the people wearing Boohoo Man are also wearing basket cases. Oh, yeah. They're kind of, yeah. You know, it's
they're
like
adjacent brands.
You should have gotten this store across from that Boohoo store. You would have a lot of the Chino guys in here.
No, but to answer your question, I mean, I don't know necessarily what that post was, but I mean, I do think that we're like always trying
Saul
to.
Saul loves lying. We lie on this podcast
all the time,
continuously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what is storytelling? You know. No, I don't know, but I guess in some ways answer your question. I do think that we try to like reinvent in some ways once every month or so.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's like 30 or 40 pieces that are new-ish. But I don't know. I also think that we've this year in the last 2 years, as we've committed to like trying to like create a uniform catalog and do denim, like it's way more about like improving like the denim V1, the denim V2. It's essentially the same product, then you tweak it out kind of. So And that's like a slower process for sure, which involves me. Like early on, we were, our production capacities, our budget was lower. So a lot of the times it was just like seeing how we could create a new product identity by sourcing, you know, 250 vintage army shorts and finding all these old Ralph Lauren flannels, thinking I was like old Virgil. And
doing I was going to say, you're doing the Pyrex thing.
Oh yeah. I loved that early on. That was a lot of what we did, was just like, you know, finding a way, you know, to just like elevate the brand, even though we didn't have a means, like finding little batch projects. A lot of the vintage stuff was not like this super earnest, sustainable disposition as much as it was just like a desire to like bring an idea to life because we didn't have the means early on. Not to totally shit on myself really early on, but
you have to, I don't mean to say like this, you have to start somewhere for sure. Right? Like you can't, you know, start a brand. I mean, maybe some people can, but like you can't start and immediately start having pop-ups with, I don't know how many items are in here, but
lot less now.
A lot less. Yeah.
I mean, I was here when this thing opened. I got here like right before
doors opened. Yeah.
Doors opened on Saturday. And it was like, people like ran in and just like loaded up.
I went to the last one, which was a huge space. And I went at like, it must've been like 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I said hi to Zach, like walked in, and the store, despite it being like, what, probably 4 or 5 or 6 times the size of this space.
Oh, it was probably 20 times the size of this space.
It was huge, but it felt packed, and it was packed.
Yeah, it was I think it was like an Urban Outfitters or something that was vacant, and we just like negotiated with the landlord for one day. It was very different identity to this. This is more like us trying to do a boutique. That was like, we do a sample sale in early part of the year in LA, and so we try to bring like an equal product offering to New York, despite it not being a sample sale. What we do is we try and just offer like 150 SKUs in the winter, and so for that we wanted a really big space. This is more us like trying to do a little bit more of like a consolidated like true small, and I mean not even small necessarily, but like a do the Soho shopping experience decently.
Yeah,
I still don't like the lighting in here though. Oh, anyways, I'm being petty. I'll always find the thing that I don't like about something. But anyways, what was your question? I actually was interrupting you.
Yeah, I think I was asking, and maybe what I was thinking about with the 1,000 items might have been at one of the pop-ups or one of the stores or whatever, like limited things. You guys, are you still doing the bootleg tees?
Here and there.
I love the bootleg tees.
What are the bootleg tees?
Like we did like a Titanic bootleg
tee. That was tight.
There was a Pikachu one, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm kidding. No, I do love like, so like mid punk in the 90s, there was like so much like corporate hate that a lot of the bootleg stuff in there was like some of my favorite graphic t-shirts of all time. And so I do love the idea of like pairing a physical activation with like a product that will only exist physically. It feels like there's no rules in tour merch sometimes. And so like, that's like kind of where we like have some of that ethos and have like, we did like a New York hat, this hat that's hanging up right there, that New York hat with like, just like the Pink Panther on the side. It's like the laziest design ever, but it's just fun. You know, like I just like the New York hat and I like the Pink Panther, you know, it's like, there's a time and place, you know, to not take it so seriously. Because, you know, like so much of it is like trying to make the editorial feel like an Essence editorial and trying to, you know, make a hoodie feel like it's worth $250. They're worth what we say it's worth. I'm not sure. But like you have to communicate that
for
with
the
like high-end editorial and like really leaning into like lighting and all these things that, you know, become so expensive over time. And part of it, I think, for me is fun to just be like, that's like the part of streetwear that I liked, like getting in was like the fuck it sort of nature of it.
Yeah. This is like, they can't send you a cease and desist because by the time they get here, the pop-up's done.
It's done.
Yeah. Like
we were already back.
They're
home.
Gone. Yeah. We don't sell them. They're not online.
They never exist. It's There's archived on the Instagram one, page.
You can't prove anything.
For sure. Yeah, and I think the cease and desist in this space are even like a medal of honor in some
ways. Yeah, no, you should frame that shit.
I mean, depending on the bootleg. I do think now...
You get the Nike one, it's like,
the
fuck.
Like, the like
God on the forehead.
Yeah, for sure. The Nike one's crazy, because the Nike one comes with a real lawsuit, I think. They
like, immediately?
Yeah, Nike doesn't play. Like, yeah, I don't know about that. I think after the Warren Lotus stuff, they like, I've heard from people that have fucked around and did the Jordan stuff that it could get really hairy.
Oh.
Like, 6 figures Harry, which is no joke. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Whatever happened with their Bape lawsuit?
Oh,
did they win? Right.
Yeah. It was the Bape one and then the Adidas Tom Brown one, right?
The Adidas Tom Brown one.
That got thrown out.
They lost. And then Nike.
Adidas lost?
I'm pretty sure it was Adidas lost.
I think Adidas did lose, yeah.
And then Nike was like, hold up, we could do it. And then they tried to sue Bape. I don't know what the rules are on that. And I don't know if they like.
Yeah, that's so interesting, bro. I don't know, because I do feel like at the end of the day that, like, specifically with the Nike scenario, it feels like so unnecessary to me. Like, I feel like in some ways I don't think the Bapes that ever affected the bottom line of what, like, the Air Force.
No,
was.
Yeah.
It made it do better, if anything.
That's
right?
a $1 billion shoe at this point. Yeah, probably, by the, right? Like, the, just by itself.
The Bapes to look being so, like, popular, but Bapestas being harder to get, I feel like means people buy more Nikes. For sure.
Am I making something up? Was the Air Force Charles Barkley's signature shoe?
No, I don't think so.
What was his signature shoe? Because I know he had one that came.
I honestly don't know his. I know that the Ewings were super popular. He might not have gotten a signature shoe because Barkley actually was super, like,
he did the I'm not a role model stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he was like a flight risk.
The Air Force Max CB. Sorry, it wasn't the Air Force One.
CB?
Yeah, but he had an Air Force, like, shoe. I don't think it was the One or anything like that.
Sneakers, man.
Yeah.
Sneakers,
it's
man.
Crazy.
Sneakers, man. What's up with sneakers now?
I feel like they're kind of in that down phase, right? I
mean, dude, the Onitsuka Tigers in New York are super popular. They're not popular in LA.
The toe box, yeah, that shit the toe is box like are so off. Small, though. I can't wear them.
I bought a pair when we were out in Paris because I just didn't bring enough tennis shoes for our trip that we just did as a team. And, like, I walked in them for 2 days and I felt like I had worn them into the ground already.
Yeah, they're so, like, they're.
But they're cool. I mean,
oh,
like
they look
to
really
me.
Cool.
Those shoes are like hipster fixed gear kid shoes.
Okay.
Everyone I knew who wore those in college also had a tiny hat with the brim folded up.
Oh,
like
yeah,
this,
the biking
you know?
Hats. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm tracking. Like, I'm tracking.
But now, you know, I mean, I guess that's the, like, that's me being old, and that's the, like, circular thing where everything sort of, like,
comes back. Yeah,
in a different way.
It does think that, like, it does feel like a conduit to, like, the slimmer silhouetted shoes after years of bulky. Like, I wonder where, if the Tiger does become, like, the Samba replacement culturally, which, like, it's here, which I think here in some ways is ahead of LA, or also just different, right? There's different styles for both places, but I'll be curious to see, like, where that takes. Like the designer shoe, like, influence in some ways, because it does feel like we're not out completely yet of bulk.
I feel like
maybe the Camion boot is actually a good example of a slimmer silhouette. The Tabby also is, but sneakers though.
Like our legacy. I just don't like our legacy. I feel like it's
wait,
like
what?
My argument with it is that it all feels like it's an essence brand that just, like, doubled their prices and they're like, hey, pay it, and then people are just, like, bought in.
The last time we talked shit about our legacy on the podcast,
really
we did not hear the end of it.
Yeah.
I think it's solid.
I would like, we've got a positive, a negative, and a neutral here. Sure, I would like to acknowledge that.
I just think they're quite overrated. And I hate using the word discourse. The conversation that I see on Twitter all the time is like, our legacy is so great. Tier, like, one step down is Amy Leon Dore. Like, nobody's doing it like them. I'm like, they're buying vintage Ralph pieces on eBay and then putting their logo on them, right? Like, we're not, like, they're not
like literally it. Or like remaking
Amy Leon Dore. They're doing that. They, like, sell vintage pieces sometimes, but they also just remake a lot of the old polo.
I would like to work with both of these brands, so I just want to say that I like what you guys are doing.
You are. I'm watching no, the. Like I'm watching the gears turn, and you like regret being here.
No.
These guys are.
No, I get
these
what you're
guys
saying.
Are tanking my prospects.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's. I mean, it's. I mean, I think it's important to have hot takes for this podcast to be any good. So
yeah, you need
what
an
else
opinion.
Do you hate, Saul? No, I'm just kidding.
I think I've become a much less hateful person. Like I think
more
I've grown
spiteful.
Out of my like angry like 20-year-old like I hate everything. I think everything's cool at this point. Like, I don't know. I've seen people wear really cool outfits in our legacy. It's not for me. I've seen people wear really cool things in Amy Leon Dore. Coffee sucks at their shop. But
is that really a thing? People
the coffee's disgusting.
Good.
It's really gross. That's also really expensive.
Yeah, but how are you gonna get a fit pick if it's
true.
Not outside Amy Leon Dore?
What was I gonna say? Oh, I feel like loafers had a big moment. Like the loafer lobby came out of nowhere and then popped
the
in.
The loafer lobby.
No, there's like a subset of guys every 2 years that come out of the woodwork convincing everybody that loafers are cool. It's like, oh, they are kind of cool. And then they disappear.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, did we not have a like, did designer shoes not have like a slim phase already? Mm-hmm. Like 5 years ago.
What year are you thinking of?
Well, as I know of a like Rick really slim shoe, obviously. Guy who's only ever seen Rick runways. Guy who's only ever seen Balenciaga runways. There's Balenciaga Zen.
Okay.
I feel like, and yeah.
I guess the shoe that started it all for Demna, the runner, that the most copied shoe ever or whatever. That's just the sock.
Oh, the sock runner. Yeah.
Oh, the fucking the ones that look like socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that shoe. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's interesting to me because I do think it's really hard to design a slim shoe.
Yeah.
Well, like in some ways,
without
I think
it being boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I do think actually now that you say it, I do like the like cycling shoes that Balenciaga did. Someone came in today wearing cycling, just like vintage cycling shoes with like a steel toe and like legit, they had the tracks in them still.
Mm.
The younger person, like definitely like young enough to where they just didn't give a fuck. So it was just all just like, I like how this looks and I found it for $15, which is like always the coolest people to
yeah,
be. Do you know what I mean?
It sounds really cool. I mean, at the tender young age of 23, I'm like, but what about arch support? Like, wouldn't that hurt your heels while you walk around? Like, it's such a lame.
At the tender young age of 29, I'm like, did he scratch up the floors?
Yeah. At 27, I'm worried that I'm not going to get the deposit back. No, I wasn't worried about it. Also, this place is low-key kind of not beat, but it's definitely seen. It's lived.
I don't know who did this flooring job, but...
Oh, it's fucked.
Be respectful to my floors.
You could fit a phone in that one.
Yeah.
This is my floors until 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Did you install these? You did this for the pop-up?
The wood's actually from...
get along swimmingly with my landlord.
Oh, God. We can't talk about it, man.
No, we can't talk about that, though.
No, it's a good callback.
So, as a brand that's really grown, I mean, over the past 3 years, very much grown, but even since you began, you've grown quite big. I mean, big Instagram following, big in-person presence, things like that. Are there things that you look back on and you're like, I wish I could have done this differently, or holy shit, we really nailed it, sort of without knowing? You know what I mean? Are there any things that you just managed to do well based on instinct or just based on feel? I guess just more as like a brand that's really come up and managed to stay one, relevant, but two, popular, three, making good stuff.
So the question is like any regrets I have or like things I wish I could have done better earlier?
Yeah. Looking back, like what did you, I guess, or what would you have wanted to do differently? And then what would you have absolutely wanted to keep the same?
I feel really grateful for this more than I ever feel like cynical. So I feel I would be lying if I told you that I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, mistakes in the past. I have a window post release or like I'm very critical of like the last 6 months.
Sure.
But then a year on, I feel like it almost, it becomes like a legacy experience in some sense. And I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm able to like have like almost more affection for things the farther away I get from them. Like we just went to Paris, for example, and did our first time hosting like some storefronts, mm-hmm. like trying to expand the brand into like smaller boutiques in Europe and Asia, trying to like be an international brand. Right. And I was like fixated on like me being like too like bubbly in a meeting with like some Tokyo store that I'm a big fan of. And I was like waking up in the middle of the night. I was like, I'm so fucking lame, you know, like shit like that. I'll geek out on, but then the longer away from it, I feel like there's like more time happens. There's like more grace in some sense. At a product level, I think that it's like, there's decisions that you make in pursuit of growth. Sometimes where you're like, it's hard to know, you know, when to stop producing something at times. And so there's definitely moments where you go like, oh, I wish that there wasn't 500 of these units in the world, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then it's like the money that comes from those ideas are the fuel to have new ones. Yeah, so it's absolutely. Even then there's like a bit of like a reasoning that can always happen, I feel. So I would say I'm not the most regretful person, but I am quite critical and like very of like my own decision making. I think just as like the brand grows, the margin for error lessens, like in some sense. Sure. But when I look back at like 2018, 2019 and like DTG printing the entire first 6 months, like of course, like there is part of me of like, fuck, everyone who got a t-shirt in that era, it probably washed off. You know what I mean? But I also was selling the t-shirts for, I sold hoodies. I sold DTG printed Gildan hoodies for like $30 with a $7 profit margin because all I wanted was like just for my friends in college to be able to afford it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in some ways I was like, fuck it. Like I needed it to be that at the time. Yeah. You know, I would have loved for that hoodie to have aged well, but there, I guess there was like,
it's their fault for washing it.
Yeah. Never wash it for sure. So yeah, I would say mostly no though. Honestly, yeah,
that's great.
Mostly no. Yeah.
On the topic of getting bigger on Instagram, you are wasting your advertising budget on me.
Oh, dude.
I get a once a day, I think I get a basket case ad.
As do I.
Today I got it immediately after watching your story.
That's so funny. Okay, so when we have like releases, most of the, so let me get a little technical for you really quick. So digital marketing is an animal. I wish that like digital marketing, you didn't have to do it or we never had to do it. I wish I was like Zach Bia and I could just like give my product to like Drake and then like sell 10,000 hoodies. But,
yeah,
like,
but then I you'd be Zach Bia.
Well, I mean, no. Sorry.
I really want to work with Zach Bia. Zach Bia, if you're listening.
No, but what I'm saying, like I didn't have a network going into this. Yeah, so like a lot of this early on was me figuring out how to like spend an extra $30 on two Instagram posts to grow a following and then how to like follow up over DM and be really kind to people so that they felt included. Like very much so like a retail approach, like closer to like a diner than like a streetwear brand, if that makes sense, in terms of like holding a community together.
Yeah.
It does work really well. Because that's the before I even knew you were on the podcast, that's what got me interested in.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting though is it is a bummer because as a creative person, right, and in some ways this being my quote unquote art, right, I do wish that the way that you like were introduced to the brand was in earnest, like you know, because I think that's like the most special way to like encounter something. But I don't know, you can't have everything. But to say that though, the when we have releases or whatever, there's most of our effective advertising budget is on retargeting, which is like that's just like how digital marketing works. Sure. Unfortunately, like the ninth time you see something is when you buy something in terms of like consumer behavior.
We call that reach and frequency.
Yeah. And like, not to get too granular, but it's a bummer. Like the creative side of me is like, I hate that people are seeing this 10 times while we have a drop happening online, but then it's also like we need our digital marketing to function and be like a profitable venture. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, of course. It's like, you know, if I see an Instagram ad for a brand that I like, I'm not like, oh, this is disingenuous.
Yeah, but
it's only disingenuous like when I don't like. No, it's fine. It's like they clearly. Well, look, I clicked on it. That's my fault. And now, you know, you click on it, and then you get in that like retargeting. Like, oh, this guy likes this shit.
Totally.
There just needs to be like a I'm at the pop-up button. Yeah. Like a stop showing me this, like, I'm there.
Like a more complicated, yeah. No, for sure. I do wish that we could do this without any digital marketing. So to anybody that I've ever annoyed with an Instagram ad, I want to say I'm sorry. I'm also not sorry.
Also, it'll go away as soon as you buy something.
Yeah, exactly. Like the way to effectively fix it.
I'd rather see basket case ads than like the shitty fucking ones that I get for like crypto scams Forex traders. I'm like, show me at least something that I'm tangentially interested in or actually interested in.
Half the time I think I'm looking at your story and then I'm like, oh, it's that picture of the jeans again with black shoes coming out.
It's really interesting. I think
on activation.
Like, but part of it too, I think, is Instagram has transformed mostly into like a product app.
Yeah.
In a sense that it feels like most, like there's like,
they built in that shopping thing.
Yeah.
Shopping thing. I don't know if anybody uses it. It also just feels like all the stuff is mostly like, it's become like high social media. In a sense, like I think as like TikTok has emerged and stories become the predominant experience on Instagram, I think posts become like what a news story used to be. Like Yahoo News is now an Instagram post. Like, does that make sense? Like,
that's, I get what you mean.
Headline.
Yeah.
And so it's concise and it's product driven and the communication and copy needs to be good and whatever. Instagram specifically is a conduit for us to communicate product and then you advertise and this and the above. But the stories, I just be led shift fly.
Yeah.
I try and
as
just
you
like
should.
Post whatever, you know?
Could you promote anything on a story? Could I just throw a selfie of me and just be like,
yeah, no,
18 to 24 men. Show this like 1,000 times a day to everybody interested. It's just like
I block nearly every selfie. I block nearly every Instagram ad company I get because if you block enough companies, you get to the really funny shit.
Okay.
You get like, you know, like you block all the big name companies spending a bunch of money and they start to show you like the guy doing like weird basketball tricks or like the guy hanging upside down and playing guitar. And he's just like, the people need to see this and I will get big. And like, so I, and you know, it's like, it's posts with like,
you got like Levi Johnson, who's trying to build like a personal brand.
Yeah.
It's just an obscure name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just like it's random person.
Name, but it's someone who's just like, you know, and they're like, their caption is like, I can help you with your marketing, but it's shot on like an Android phone.
Yeah, you know? And it's
have
like
horrible. Have you seen the Instagram reels? I get them and I send them to Michael sometimes of like dudes in their 40s doing fit checks to like no audience.
It's because some dudes in their 40s are doing fit checks to a huge audience.
No, but they see that.
And they're like, I can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one guy that I just recently got on TikTok that's like, his first TikTok was about a midlife crisis and he started buying designer.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm loving this.
Can I say that?
Balenci Owens.
Oh, yeah.
Shout
out to Balenci Owens.
I should follow him back. He tagged
he
me.
He followed you.
Yeah. So some kid commented on his post where he was wearing like a Rick Owens thing and he's like, oh, I think this Rick stuff doesn't fit in here. You should check out this Michael. He knows what to do. And I'm like, no, this looks fine. Like, leave him alone.
Okay, so he made like a reply to a post and it was like in earnest. And he was like, yo, I figured out how to wear these Rick Orange shirts. You have to wear like a long line shirt. Like, that's how the proportions work. This dude's like 42 with kids. And actually the content piece I thought was like profound. I was like, more people who are trying to buy Rick Owens need to see this.
Yeah, it's
because
really
that's actually the truth.
He's going through the journey in a way that like a lot of people start wearing Rick and they're like, why don't I look
good?
Like, you know, why am I not Oliver Door 2 for sure. or whatever? Yeah.
But there's also like, he's what, 42? So he's not coming under the same ridicule of like a 15-year-old kid trying this at school, right?
That's
like, it's just
true.
Like,
well, I cannot wait for him to hear this, bro. Keep going, man.
He's sick. I want him to keep going.
Rick is for olds. That's like established. Like, Rick is for old people.
I don't know about that.
If you're, this is like, I've repeated this a lot. I feel like old people, not that like Rick is for old people, but like old people in Rick look like they have so much less to prove.
That's true.
Than like me in Rick or like a 15-year-old in Rick. Like there's an old person could have put on pretty much any combination of Rick items and I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, man.
It works.
It's great. Like you're not trying
maybe
to.
Maybe Rick shorts.
Rick shorts?
I feel like when I see like a guy who's like 38, and just like has like a Rick Shorts outfit going on, I'm like, I feel like that guy has that outfit, like the same outfit in three of them, and that's maybe all he wears. That's what I think.
That's tight.
My girlfriend's dad owns like 8 articles of clothing.
I love that.
Are they all Rick?
No. They're all like Arc'teryx or like, he's not like a tech wear guy, but he just.
Like Blue Lives Matter.
No, hold on. No.
I'm shooting from the hip.
He's like, he's a tech wear guy that grew up out of Instagram. That makes sense. So like all of his stuff is like hyper functional, but it like fits him
so
well.
So he like discovered it genuinely.
Yeah.
He's exactly. Like, oh my God, the water wicks off.
So we're on vacation with her dad and he pulls up to a hike and like full Arc'teryx, like hiking boots. I'm like, holy shit, he's so cool. Like,
that's
and
dope.
And he found it, like, again, like completely.
He's about
organic.
That life.
Yeah, literally.
He's actually about that life. Yeah. That's so cool. So my Blue Lives Matter comment was because last night we had an after party here. It was like an RSVP event, right? And we had made it through Eventbrite.
So Zach invited the whole NYPD, right? They show up.
No, but okay, another story. NYPD, a guy came in at the front at the opening of the pop-up when the line was around the block, and he had an NYPD vest on. He came in, and he was like, yo, and I was like, yo, I'm super. Like, I was just, like, getting ready for him to be like, yo, I'm going to have to shut this bitch down. Like, what? But, and then he was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm just on my break. Do you mind if I shop around? And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, thinking that, like, I'm, like, going to be able
just
to,
just using
like,
the badge to skip the line.
The guy was not a police officer.
What?
He was not a police officer, bro. He just found a vest.
Wait, was that the guy in the fluorescent vest?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, I really thought he was here doing something official.
I thought he was like helping the line or something, or like he was like just, you know, part of Soho work, bro.
Fuck, I gotta start walking around in a fluorescent vest.
Hey, basket case, we got a line here. We're gonna need $500, and we're gonna set up some pitons for you.
I'm not even mad about it, bro. I thought it was a good play. It was a good hustle, and he bought clothes. So I'm not even mad. Like he literally he skipped the line, but he didn't he didn't say he didn't threaten me or anything.
Did he ask for the Punisher skull to get screen printed on him?
Oh, the Blue Lives Matter comment though? Okay, so we used Eventbrite. It's just an events platform. Yeah. We RSVP, right? And I did not know that Eventbrite, when you post a link, or if you create an Eventbrite link, it's not automatically private. It just becomes a post on Eventbrite. Because Eventbrite is in the business of exploring and finding events in your city. Apparently, people browse Eventbrite for just shit that's going on.
I think at some point when I've had nothing to do, I've Googled what to do in New York tonight, and Eventbrite pops up, and none of them are good.
Okay.
But
so we had a group of like four or five dudes that were in their 50s, bro. And they slid, so and they pulled up in Punisher Blue Lives Matter tees, but not in they're like tech vibes. They didn't seem like threatening figures.
That's just the only shirts they had.
They're like, who do you know? And he was like, I know them through Philip. And we were like, Philip who? And we've talked to a lot of people this weekend, so we're just like, okay, fuck, maybe they work on the back end of something cool. We don't know. And they just sat on the couch the whole for an hour, and then eventually Johnny, thank you Johnny for doing this, was respectfully was like, hey, you know what? This is actually only our staff. Just kind of lied to them and escorted them out. Because they were kind of just loitering and drinking all the alcohol. Which Juneshine offered. Shout out to Juneshine. I appreciate you guys.
Yo. Hell yeah.
Juneshine sponsored this podcast. The real, real sponsor of this podcast.
We're Essential Water.
Essential Water.
Zach Bia sponsored this podcast. Emily Andore. We'll stop talking shit.
So that's why I was in my head, bro. I'm sorry. Anytime I think of an older male now, I'm like, that's crazy. That guy was just wearing that shirt. It wasn't even on. It didn't even seem like he even knew what he was wearing. It was just dad mode, where you just wear a shirt.
Yeah, you just pick whatever's there.
What's in the drawer,
My grandpa sort of has the energy. It's that post of James Harden, working out.
He don't have the internet. The mask. Don't know.
My grandpa would probably put on anything I gave him just because it's like, oh, it's a shirt. I want to see what the craziest one is. You know, the ones on Facebook you see that's my wife hates that I'm a welder. Also, I drive a Ford F-150. God bless America.
Hyper-targeted, yeah.
Yeah, I need to get one of those for him. But
somebody
just
bought all that guy's data and knows he owns a Ford F-150. He's a welder. He's like, this shit is speaking to me, bro. And
that's crazy.
No, yeah.
I need to get or start collecting those as
mementos.
Yeah.
Well, Balenciaga's referencing them for all probably the next 3 years. So it'll probably be played.
You'll get one eventually.
You should get the Balenciaga
one. I am a 23-year-old with a podcast. I live.
Oh, yeah.
My phone number is.
No, please don't. Not live. I got to go through the video and cut it.
That's funny.
Michael loves reading my phone number out on the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Social security number, address, anything. What's your phone number, by the way?
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Tight.
Oh my goodness. What was I going to say? So New York versus LA, what are the differences that you see coming into pop-ups especially, but just the people engaging with the brand?
So LA has better weather.
Debatable.
Nope.
No, because you got to be in LA to experience it.
Okay. Shut up.
Okay. No, what I'll say about LA people and New York people, New York, so LA people are generally a bit warmer than New York people, but they're all full of shit. It's a bit normal to sort of aggrandize stories and talk about committing to doing something together in the future. And it's just kind of a normal thing to just not do it. It's almost everything's so nice and easy in some parts of California that everyone just kind of becomes flaky, I think. I mean, I actually don't want to say this to talk about all people. I would say the blemishes of LA is that it can be a bit flaky.
Sometimes I love that shit, for the record.
Oh, not having vibes.
It's sometimes you see someone from that you knew years ago and you just there's nothing, you don't have a lot to talk about, but you're hey, we should hang out, or I'll see you around. And neither of you mean it, but it's
Yeah.
It's
almost like a hi, what's up? It's so good to see you. But it's like, that's like, does you mean that?
Who knows? Yeah. No one really like even if you, neither of you has like a strong desire to see the other one again, it's something you say as like a
term of endearment. You're not you don't actually want to know. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. But okay. And then New York, I would say that like, less warmth in terms of like a general, communication dynamic, but when it is kind, it's honest in some ways. So someone will like tell me, like in LA, no one will say anything that they'd ever been upset for or anything like that. But like in New York, someone will be like, yo, you fucked this up in my order. I fuck with the brand though. You know, it's like, and it's nice because you kind of know sort of where someone's at. And that seems generally true in like a cultural context, in the sense of like LA, you deal with like, it's, everyone seems really nice.
Yeah.
But there's a bit more dishonesty. And then New York, I think it's a bit more direct and abrasive at times, but there's the positive of that is you kind of know where people stand.
Sure.
You know? And I really like both. I'm a bit, you know, I've grown up in California, right? So I'm like way more like intolerant to that in some sense, because it's what I've grown up with. So I'm especially put off by flakiness and dishonesty in the space, being in and around also like fashion and entertainment at times is quite a bit of it.
Would you say that that's the transplant, seeing that as like part of the culture, or is that just like LA culture? It's a little bit more flaky.
I don't know. Okay. I don't want to sound like I know too much about what it is. You know, I've met some really great people in California. I've also met really great people in New York. So I think that there's opportunity to come through either sort of cultural dynamic and be a special person. But yeah, I really appreciate it in New York, especially like just like getting to have, so in New York, people will say like, hey, like, I appreciate this brand so much, and this thing that you did really, like, affected me, and it's, like, an awesome experience to have at a pop-up, and it will be, like, if there's anything that I could help with, like, I'd love to help with it. And then LA, it's, like, hey, here's this project I'm working on, like, will you give me critique and tell me how to, like, grow it? It's, like, but both of them are huge compliments, in a sense, to get to be a part of either part of those conversations. And I'm aggregating the experience a little bit.
For sure.
But I would say that's like the largest standout in terms of like the cultural dynamic. Mm-hmm. I think LA, I think people in New York dress a bit better because layering is sort of inbred, like that you have layering, right?
Yeah.
But I will say that like the best dressed people in LA, like being able to pull off, you know, just a t-shirt and like and shorts with like a pair of like low top sneakers with like minimal accessories and stuff like that. Like the people that have like the grace to be able to sort of put something together that's really simple. There's also something really special about that sort of like Cali sort of like bougie sort of like bohemian swag. That's like only in LA in certain parts you see these people that are like putting it kind of all together.
Yeah.
New York, it feels a bit more like calculated, and there's a lot more brand awareness in New York.
Yeah.
Brand seems more important here is what I'd say. LA, like vintage is bigger. I think people, I don't know, people are a bit cheaper. New York people are willing to like spend money on product that they're going to wear for a long time. And there's less hesitancy in LA, I think, because there's such an aftermarket. There's like a lot, like vintage and thrifting and secondhand stuff is very available in California. So I think like, there's less people who are interested. Like, there's a true bartering. There's even like a questioning at times at the checkout of like, oh, can I get, you know, money off? And it's like, did you see a sales sign? You know,
and like, wait, like, people try and barter with you here?
Oh yeah, and I honestly, I respect the hustle, bro. Like, you don't get anything you don't ask for.
Yeah.
But not in New York. I say in more LA. So in LA. That's
Zach actually gives discounts. All you have to do is ask.
I don't know about that.
Mention Pair of Kings.
Yeah. I'm now a sponsor of this podcast.
There's the like specific New York guy, fashion guy who doesn't know how to look cool without a puffer jacket on.
Yeah.
And so you like it hits like 70.
He
and
got that shit on.
And
though.
The puffers come. Yeah, he looks great, but I know he gets home and like rings that shit out. Like
for sure, bro. It's definitely
definitely two different styles, you know, and footwear is more important out here as well. Mm. Like, cause it's a walkable city. Right?
Yeah.
It's not, it's in so, like you spend most of your time in a car in California. Mm. You drive everywhere. So it's not as important. You can put on some bullshit. You could drive in kiss heels all day.
You can't. I've tried. Okay. That shit sucks.
For sure. Yeah. But yeah, I think it'd be primary. I think those are the first things that come to my head. Yeah. I really like, these are the two cities that have like given us the most affection and time and attention. So we invest a lot into them.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. What the fuck is up? Yeah. It's coming to your city.
I have friends in Tulsa.
Where's that Cleveland, Ohio pop up? Yeah.
Cleveland. We're going to do some stuff with this store called Exhibition in Cleveland. Shout out Exhibition in Cleveland.
There actually is a Cleveland, Ohio pop up.
Yes. Oh, no, I don't know about a pop up.
You know. All right.
I don't know about a pop up. But yeah.
There is Cleveland, Ohio work.
So wait, you're from LA. Who's your basketball team?
I'm a LeBron James fan.
Yeah.
Transparently.
Yeah.
LeBron was like my Jordan. I started watching him when I was like eight.
The real greatest player of all time, not that journeyman Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I used to be like vehemently interested in the argument, but bro, I fucking. Sports is like an escape from the work context. You know what I mean? Like, I like to watch sports or play basketball to like be disconnected from like, and like it's so much stimulus and like, oh, what's the best photo? What's the best video? What's the best product? Who's like changing shit up? Like the sports is when I like go smooth brand.
Adam Sandler plays in the courts like right over there,
dude. I know, and
isn't that picture of him with Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah, I was so on that, cool. And they match right over there. Yeah, and then both in there. He was on a court that's like a block and a half from Anna's dad's spot. Anna's my girlfriend, but yeah, I was like, oh shit, I was there one day before.
Go play pickup with Adam Sandler.
He's apparently pretty good. Like
he really
good.
Hoops.
Yeah,
he definitely really hoops.
He knows how to play.
Damn. Yeah, like I think he plays like multiple times a week. Like, that's what I would do. Obviously, he's not the most athletic guy anymore, but you can tell he really does it.
No,
we really want to work with Adam Sandler in the future. So
yeah,
I'm sure you.
I really want to work with Adam Sandler.
I'm sure you've played basketball with the old dudes that like don't move fast, but just like cut really well.
That's that old man game,
really good
bro.
Shooters. Yeah,
hook. They got a little hook shot somehow. It, like comes from the hip.
Yeah, I played with a 71-year-old guy. I was setting like elevator screens for him.
Damn.
We played to 21. He scored like 12 or 13 points all underneath the basket.
Sounds was like crazy. A really bad run.
He was no. He was like quite good at the basket. Like, we won. We won.
Okay. You're on the same team.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're setting elevator screen. Okay.
Yeah.
Was like kicking your ass.
No.
How's Timmy C?
I don't actually know how good he is. He looks like he plays okay. Like he looks athletic.
I don't know. I'm not super tapped in with that either. I can't comment. But I would love to play pickup basketball with Adam Sandler one
day. Yeah.
That would be so cool, man. I like that he plays in like a Ralph Lauren polo and and one.
Yeah, you got that and one. The picture of Adam Sandler in the big T-shirt and the and one shorts was like formative for a lot of Rick kids.
For sure.
I'm not even kidding. Sure. A bunch of people I know looked at that and they were like, "Fuck,
that's it.
That's how I want to dress. Yeah. That's how I'm. That's why I look like this today."
I believe you. I 100% believe you. I do feel like that Adam Sandler style like did inform the sort of like Bella Hadid, Jim Short,
shorts,
sort of like anti-fashion vibe. I'm sure it was on the mood board.
We're in the bigger, the shorts are getting bigger again.
Yeah.
But I feel like the cycles are, are we fluctuating back and forth between styles quicker now?
Yes. Zach and I were talking about this earlier.
It's super interesting to me though, because I was just thinking about it because we were talking about it earlier, like that, like a lot of intro to this fashion world, right, was like the 2014, 15, 16 moment. Mm-hmm. It was SoundCloud push into V-Lo, and Fear of God was the hottest thing in the world. Right? We're talking about Fear of God. And I was thinking about how, like, you know, Fear of God and like Balenciaga, for example, feel like much different brands in principle, but like at a very like zoomed out perspective, like light wash denim distressed with like vintage black shirts and hoodies. It's actually like very similar product in some ways. Like if you were to look at like the 2015 to 2022 moment and put like a photo of just like a Balenciaga outfit next to like the Fear of God third collection, you'd be like, oh, it's actually kind of the same.
It's just whether it's like it's just skinny or wide.
Yeah. But I think like zoomed out, you'd be like, oh, they liked like fucked up clothes, or you know, or yeah. like not fucked up, but you know what I mean, like distressed clothes, yeah, 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 yeah. and maybe be what you'd pull from it, like yeah. 10 years out or 20 years out.
Well, I mean, there were also like the, I mean, you had Saint Laurent, which was vintage black t-shirt, fucked up jeans,
yeah,
right. You had Yeezy season, I guess 2, 3, 4, 5, which was black shirt, fucked up jeans, kind of. Yeah. It was more like, you know, also with a beige hoodie.
Oh yeah,
but like, I think. You know, all things come down to it. I think you're absolutely correct. We're like, if you were to meld all of it, you'd get probably black shirt, some and sort
like
of jean.
Like wash jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know, but it does feel like there was like some change in the middle where like mm-hmm. the Yeezy basics, like all pastels had a moment. Yeah. But I wonder if you pulled that from it, yeah. if it would just feel like all that changed was the cut on the pants.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, you also had that weird era before that where it was like Pink Dolphin. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the like the swag era.
Karma Loop.
Yeah, yeah. Karma Loop. Exactly.
I used to go stupid on Karma Loop. I had a black scale. I was tough into black Obey. Scale.
You were in Zoomies.
Hell
just,
yeah.
Just throwing racks.
I was not racks. I was super turned on. I loved Karma Loop so much, bro. That was my favorite.
That's tight.
That was like the intro for a lot of it, right?
Yeah. yeah.
That company like flamed out too, I guess.
Like, did they get bought by like Revolve or some shit?
Are they still alive?
I don't think they're alive. I think they're like absorbed into like okay.
a greater holding company, if yeah. you will.
You talk about like making your own bootlegs. Have yeah. you seen, has there been a basket case bootleg yet? Not yeah. that you printed? Because you, yeah. you were printing bootlegs here all weekend, but like.
I mean, yeah, there's been a few. There's definitely been a few.
Fashion rep. Was getting on you or fashion
oh,
reps?
Oh yes, I did see that. Like my friend Will yeah. sent me a Reddit screenshot that was like looking for a reputable basket case rep or whatever. And the first comment was like, "Yo, fuck you, dude! Like they're a small brand." And I was like, "Hell yeah!" Like holding it down in the
also,
Reddit.
Also, that
comments.
Shit is not that expensive.
I know. It's not to the point where they should be, but I think that's the scarcity side of it. Things yeah. where it's just like you can't. Sometimes
they're like,
you can't
I don't
want
to wait
size.
A week for the store to open.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You that's need so to fun. Like. What happens when you get to send your first cease and desist?
Ooh,
I don't know if I would.
Yeah, you just let him cook.
I mean, I think like so legally. So the way that trademarks work in apparel is actually like. It's designed for the industry to always have to like improvise and grow. It's very hard to protect anything in apparel. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you can truly like trademark or copyright is like an actual logo.
It's like monograms too, right?
Yeah. So it's like we were on year 4 of a complex trademark for the brand, and we're on year 2 of trying to of trademarking like the Raw College dog logo and stuff like that, like we will try and protect. So if someone ever printed that actual logo and was making a bunch of money off of it, or like the Thumper logo, some of them that have sort of become brand marks or like maybe our box logos, if you will, we would try to do our best to stop it. But a lot of this stuff is very, like there's a lot of brands that feel very similar now. And more often than not, I just try and take it as flattery. But there are times where it gets close and it's like, oh, man, this is a bummer. Because it feels a little bit like...
No vague posting. If you got a problem with someone, dox them.
No, I'm kidding. I don't do that. No, but yeah, it just feels a bit exploitative. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's interesting because like there's a business side of my brain and then like a creative side of my brain in doing this. And the business side of my brain is like, at the end of the day, like, it's apparel. You could boil it down, sort of go like hyper material, like think about it in like a very like objective sense and be like, look, at the end of the day, like there are not laws to protect this, and like it's not worth getting emotionally involved. But like the creative side, for it to have anything decent, there's a ton of investment into saying like, is this really my favorite? Do I really love this? What am I earnestly interested in? What do I want to put in the words of this graphic? And I'm not out here like writing, you know, rap songs of like crazy graphics, but there is like a real like commitment and some of it. Cause you want that there to be some connection point, you know, to the audience. And so like the creative side of me is like, you know, hurt But then the business side of me is like, doesn't matter how you feel. You know, it's almost like this almost like schizophrenic internal dialogue and sort of growing a business that's a creative thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So it's gotten easier as time has gone on, but it's also like the more t-shirts that we sell, the more hoodies, the more jeans, the more, you know, the more you sort of start to see the footprint. But you also have to be careful to not like take yourself too seriously, I think, because in a net energy level, like just giving your energy to something that's like subtracting from you is just going to keep subtracting from you. Yeah. So you have to be careful with, I have to be careful with that, because like for this thing to sustain, we have to be contributing to like what's next always. Mm. So like try and stay out of it. Easier said than done, but there's too much to do to really care too much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do end up getting a cease and desist for one of these things, I think you should put it on a shirt.
Ooh.
Put it on a shirt. Yeah, bro. For sure.
One of my friends has been making knockoff furniture.
Oh, really?
Because he's like...
Plug me. No, I'm kidding.
He makes knockoff Rick furniture specifically.
Oh, cool.
Because there's not... I think it's similar. There's not a lot of like copyright shit. And he's really trying to get a cease and desist because he wants to frame it.
What is the Rick retail price point for furniture, and what is the bootleg price point?
The Rick retail price for furniture, I think he's making, so if like Rick furniture is not often sold by Rick as much as it's sold by like art collectors.
Sure.
Like it's reached that point, so it's hard to like, they're on first dibs. They're not on like Rick.com.
Got it. It's like is it like a chair that was in a store kind of thing?
No, he makes furniture. Oh, like he has a factory. It's true furniture, but it's like limited runs. So there's like little stools. That's probably the smallest thing you could get. It's like a tee of wood with an antler on it. Cool. As like the support. I think that's like $3,000.
Okay. So pretty expensive.
My friend's like, you know, I mean, it's not easy production and it's not easy sourcing antlers. And the
inexpensive.
So
to
I've got it.
His end up being like $600.
The stag table, the ones you were talking about, $7,500.
Oh.
There is a bronze lighter that is $1,000. There's a vase that is $2,400.
Oh, are you on the website?
I'm on First Dibs.
Oh, yeah.
There's another stool that's $10,000. There's like an end table that's like $9,000.
Yeah,
there's a tomb chair, expensive. Natural plywood right, which is $21,000.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit.
There's a $80,000 tomb chair.
Wait till you get to the beds.
Oh, he makes those giant
marble beds.
Yeah.
Marble.
There, it's a huge... like marble.
Imagine jumping into bed and just shattering your
materials costs.
Oh, your femur.
Or it's
just
not
getting
marble,
crushed.
It's like some similar
but it looks like marble.
Yeah, it's
and
like
it's heavy.
It's rock. It's rocks for sure. It's fucked.
Rocks. So it's what, it's like $50,000?
Oh, that would be well I know it's like quarter of a mil.
Okay.
Cause it's like, you know, as tall as this shit and just like a solid chunk of like stone wrapping around an entire bed.
It's marble.
Sorry for derailing this by talking about Rick. That's kind of my thing. No, take a shot every time.
I enjoy it. Honestly,
you roll out of bed and just like crack your skull on the marble bed.
I'm a fan. Yeah, I'm like an entry level Rick Owens fan for the most part. Like I have, but
me
like
too.
So it's I like learning more. I have. I think Rick Owens is like the most he should be the most respected designer in fashion in the sense that his reference point is truly only his own.
You said it, not me, man. I'm not. I'm not for the.
Like yeah, it's to me like there is artistry and like the music industry, artistry and the and like apparel or storytelling, maybe even movies. There's a point of which like you could tell that someone's following a similar story structure, song structure, right? Like apparel, is it iterative? Does it exist like purely from like someone's just loins? Like they just were like
his this loins.
Is, like what the fuck? Like there are products that are
bro.
Just,
you got to put a dollar in the saying loins jar. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was definitely like 2 days of talking. Just like
no, you're good.
Did he slip you like $50 on the way to the bathroom or something to talk about? Did I miss an interaction?
Yeah, I'm glazing heavy. But anyways, that's the thing. Like Rick, it's like he was not cool. Like he's cool now after not being cool. Like and not to say he was not cool, but like he was not accepted, I'm sure, by common folk for like years. And now it's like,
I have too much to say about it. You got to stop talking about this because I will get a fucking annoying.
Yeah, yeah. You'll start preaching.
Yeah, just listen up.
You'll give your life to Rick Owens. Yeah, shit. Like the Romans Road of like Rick
Shiny
Owens.
And chrome.
When are you gonna get the double tags?
Oh, fucking hell no. There was a horrible point in my life where I probably would have done that. We're good. We're chill now.
Okay, we can move off Rick though. What's next? I'll save that segment here.
Was sponsored by Michael Smith.
Rick Owens, please sponsor this podcast.
Yo.
I've tried to get him on. I got a response.
Yeah, we emailed him.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He follows me on TikTok.
Really?
Out of 32 people, I'm one of them for some reason.
Wow. There you go.
That's a dub.
That's crazy.
That's cool. Paris Fashion Week next year.
Let's go.
Courtside.
Count me in.
Courtside at the runway.
Nah, there's enough. That's fine.
I don't think it'll be long before that's... I feel like if you guys keep just earnestly trying to speak about fashion, there's not a lot of...
They don't want me there. I'm such a fucking loser. I'm sorry. Like, I'd show up in the front row in some shitty little outfit and ruin, like, every Vogue runway photo. They'd be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Are those fake Capital shorts?
Everyone just knows I'm all there.
Yeah. Actually, I'm wearing these because everything else in my suitcase.
Yeah. My suitcase got lost at Charles de Gaulle.
I think it could happen for y'all. Seriously. Because there's not a lot of people trying to actually just have conversations about sort of the space. And you guys have quite a head start. I think if you just stay consistent, why not?
Aww. This is about you. Shut up.
I'm trying to be on the podcast full time. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. We need a fourth host, actually. We need a rotating cast.
You have any must do's in New York? Any favorite spots that you're hoping to visit before you get out of here?
You know, honestly, on these work trips, it's a bit of a bummer. Like work now takes me to New York, which is one of my favorite cities in the world. And that takes us to Paris sometimes, which is really cool. But in some ways, the disposition that I need to have when traveling to like enjoy a city, and like the way that we approach these pop-ups, it's like I would need like 2 to 3 days of like decompressing post these to be able to appreciate it. We used to love this spot called Kenka, right under Search and Destroy that we used to love to eat at. Yeah. But the last time we went, it was like it had fallen off a cliff. I don't know if it was new ownership. I hope that it was just like one bad experience, so we didn't go there this time. But Max went to FIT or FITM, which is the fashion one.
There's FIT or Parsons.
Yeah.
So he graduated from there and lived out here for years before he moved back to California, and he runs our production side. And so he's a huge part of our brand, our backbone in a lot of ways. So I kind of have always on these trips, I sort of give him the reins of like, hey, where do we want to go? Also, Brian is like a longtime friend of him. He comes and helps with the pop-up. Shout out to Brian. Brian Chow, the king of New York, but he's a lifelong New Yorker and like really, really like loves to like share his favorite sort of corners. So in some ways we kind of plug and play there, which is really nice actually. But yeah, my favorite part about being here is walking. Like it's such an incredible, I don't get that in my normal life.
That's like fucked, man. You know,
I don't have like an organic reason to walk other than to say I'm going to go on a walk. And it's not really a place in my life where I'm going on walks, unfortunately. So I should.
Is LA that car dependent?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on where you live, right?
I live in Costa Mesa, which is like 45 minutes south. It's smaller, and you can definitely walk in some areas of it, but like I could bike to work if I wanted to. I should, but I don't. But like also a lot of days if we end up needing to go to LA, it's like a 30-45 minute drive that I have to sort of like schedule into it. Definitely can't walk. There's no public transportation really.
Nice.
It's Ford Tough.
California. It's a modern city.
This podcast brought to you by Ford.
Ford, would you please sponsor this podcast?
This is our official Ford Tough moment of the week.
I'm just like doing a sales approach where it's like shoot 100 offers out there. One's got to say yes.
This podcast is brought to you by ExxonMobil. We've had no adverse effect on the environment.
We're gonna would be crazy. You guys would catch a bag.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys just do the ExxonMobil apologist thing. We can be the next Sheen TikTok girl.
Oh my god!
They took us to the factory. There was nothing wrong there.
Normal.
Do you guys follow Brad Trammell?
No.
Wait. Why is that name really familiar?
He has like a he does a post internet discourse.
Oh yes, the art critic.
He's like an art critic, but he's also a really thoughtful.
Yeah. I've tried to get him on the podcast. He won't do it.
Yeah.
I've talked to him.
I'm a huge
fan. He's just like, I just don't do podcasts.
Anyways, I think you guys would connect with a lot of his work because he'll just post like obscure screenshots he finds on Corner or the internet or whatnot. It's really impressive. But like, I remember like that was sort of how I discovered the Shein thing.
So funny, bro. That shit was crazy. I keep, not anymore, but like in the couple weeks after that, I would go back and like check the profiles of a few of the people who had did that just to see like
where they are.
Are they continuing as normal? And they are. Most of them have deleted their Shein posts. Oh. I don't know if they lose the bag for doing that. But no, like, maybe. I don't know if it's, there's probably something contractual about like keeping it up there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, you know, you're an influencer full time.
Yeah.
So you know about these contracts.
That is what I do for a living.
Full time.
Yeah, full time. I make money off of
posting big brand deals.
Big brand deals. I post. I'm sponsored by Rick.
Rick Owens.
No, I
Michael follows me around and says, you should buy Rick for like 20 hours of the day.
They pay me $1,000 a day to do that.
That would be great. It fits into the margin on the beds.
Yeah.
Callbacks, baby.
One bed pays for my whole year of employment.
Oh my God.
It's tight. No, I have a job.
I know you do. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's almost newsworthy unto itself. Like, podcast host has actual job.
Podcast host works in an office. It's crazy, man. We'll get out of it eventually. Don't worry. I'm going to make it big. I'm sorry, Saul.
Oh, boy. I just need a place to live. This is terrible, dude.
That's too sad. Grim. We can't do
it's
that.
It's so grim. This episode is brought to you by landlords. We're not the scum of the earth.
Need the landlords union.
They're the fucking worst. I can say that much. I'll probably end up leaving that. I don't know. What was I going to say, though? I had one more question before we got out of here. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. For New York and LA exclusives, how do you decide what to do? Is it more just like spur of the moment, this is just going to be exclusive, or do you make something for the actual location that you think will do well or resonate with an audience?
I mean, sometimes like that New York hat with the Pink Panthers on the side is obviously a New York product, but the creative side of things or like product development is I think we have time scheduled, or I have time scheduled that's committed to like product development that is split into graphics and cut and sew, like as a sort of division. Graphics is more of like a purely like, what are things I've seen that caught my eye that I took a photo of or screenshotted, and sort of like you sort of smorgasbord, and that's like instinctual and like a little bit more of like a impulse driven sort of like project. There's obviously like graphics that are, you know, you would like to do a good college logo. Like, there is a time and place. And then the cut and sew is like, it's a little bit more of like a utility focused conversation, because just the barrier of entry at a cost level, you don't want to make mistakes in product development because it's expensive.
Yeah.
And so I would say that like you build out on ideas in that space, and then there's a time where we plan out sort of 3 to 6 months ahead of time. We don't live much further ahead than that. And then we have a bank of ideas and concepts, and sort of say like, what would be like the most effective way to sort of pull and push these ideas in different windows. And then from that, it then gets into like a marketing conversation. But part of it being like mostly direct to consumer, there is part of it that is on the seam of the pants. And that's like the sort of like, also like the, like, you know, the least convenient part of this, and maybe like the least, like not as wise as some of the other things, but I also think it's part of what like gives the brand life is like the spontaneity in some sense. So, so part of it is just like last second, like I found a Powder Puff Girls bootleg from like 2001 that was like artwork of the Powder Puff Girls, dressed as like emo rave girls.
Yo, I've seen that shit. Yeah.
You seen that tee?
Not that tee, but I've seen like
it's like
that,
it's
like sort of graphic.
It's like that era of like like ghetto SpongeBob, like that crazy shit. And that shit is just funny to me because like I remember seeing those memes like early internet, like all that stuff. And so we had like a black t-shirt for this that didn't finish in time. That was like, we did 25 like
Powderpuff Girls, and that would have, we would have done 20 of those for fun for this. We just, I just did it on Monday and we had to leave on Thursday, and we were like, we'll see if we could get it done. And there was, that was just sort of like a flippant thing. And there are moments where it just doesn't get done, you know? And but so some of it is a bit more like on the seam of your pants. I think that that's been like where we've had a lot of, we've been fortunate to have like a lot of success. It's just sort of like sharing the last minuteness of things at times. And like, I think it just allows people to feel like, oh, like this is exactly how it happened because I watched that. I watched it happen. You know, it's a little bit less like produced as some of the bigger box, anything bigger or anything. I think that sort of, it's similar to like why short form, all this stuff, it makes sense to our generation, the next generation, is it just feels a bit more honest, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, not, like it's, it all kind of is informed by time windows and creative pushes, if you will. And then there's a moment where there's no more ideas left, and it's like, okay, it's time to plan.
Yeah,
that's where it comes from.
Tight.
Cool. What about you guys? What's the best case scenario that could ever come from this podcast?
I'm finally free. I don't really know. I mean,
do you guys have like a reference point in another industry? Like, do you look at somebody like Anthony Fantano, for example, is a really cool example of someone who was passionate about music and turned that into like, he's a meaningful voice in music in a lot of ways and did it independently. Or like, do you guys have like a aspirational direction?
Part of me is worried personally that if this becomes like a full-time job or like, you know, something that I have to do rather than something that I choose to do, the love for it will then fade. Yeah,
that is the scary part.
Yeah.
It definitely changes once there's pressure on it, for sure.
I also just like worry about security and sustainability still. I at a certain point, if this becomes like a full-time thing, do I lose that security that I have by working in like a,
are we gonna
like
get an office job?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I mean, like, is that would that be a help for it to be like a, like, what if it could contribute a salary?
If that happens, that's really cool, and I would obviously enjoy that way more than coding. Like that shit's like, you know, there's no passion in that. It would be nice to do something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
For a living, but I'm also like not expecting it.
It's a nice to have, not a need to have.
Yeah,
there's no like entitlement towards it.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, I think that's why it's probably why it's good. Mm. You know, in some sense that you guys are kind of coming at it from a perspective of like doing it for the love, not doing it for like a return.
I also think that that's the sort of people that we tend to engage with or have on the podcast to talk to, or people that are genuinely passionate about it, and they're not necessarily only doing it for a paycheck, right? You know, fashion is like any other industry. There are people that are in it, you know, as a job, and it's for a job, and they go home and it's like, you know, I'm done with this. But there are also some really cool, wonderful, passionate people who also do it as a full-time job. And I think that that's interesting and motivating. And like, again, we've got like a younger audience. I know for a fact that they're, you know, young kids. And I hope that part of the thing that we put out is like, hey, like you can do this, right? Because like talking to my parents when I was 16 or 17, it was like, oh, I'd like to design clothes. Or like, I went and worked at a fashion magazine. And they're like, okay, like, it's time to think about a real job down the road. And
good
like,
luck, oh, buddy.
Okay.
I just remembered.
Yeah.
This kid, I posted a TikTok about some Rick item. Some kid, some like teenager, sent me pictures of like a couple days later. He was like, I saw that thing you posted and I really liked it, but it's too expensive. And so I made it.
Whoa.
And he just like, he like, you know, it's this like, that thing I was wearing yesterday, actually, the like like folded sweater that like folds up and down into like he made one out of like three shirts. Like he just got a bunch of shirts, cut them up, sewed them into this thing. It was like, you know, it's like unfinished. It was like a little like,
DIY.
Yeah, you like DIY'd it, but like that's the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He'd been sewing for 3 months.
Whoa.
He just like, that's and this dope. Kid's like I looked at his profile. He has his like prom pictures.
Whoa.
That's adorable. Recently. And that is the coolest. That's what I want. More than I want like, more than I actually care about like whatever what this comes of me. It. It's like, it's like the idea that like you can make something accessible for people.
Yeah.
that otherwise it's like very scary and intimidating to like show people something that they're like, oh, I can like do this.
I met a kid who was a fan of the podcast in Stockholm.
That's
or no,
tight.
Wait, was it, we were in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
We were just in a coffee shop and I heard somebody go, Saul. And I was like, oh my, like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
And I talked to him, like, really nice kid. He's from Oslo, I believe, off the top of my head. But like, really sweet kid. Talked to him for like 10 minutes and we just like went on our way.
That shit went straight to your head, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I'm going crazy. I was walking around the city like, no photos, please.
Nah, this shit was great for me because like multiple people in that line recognized me and I was like,
I'm him.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I made it.
Him, Carrie.
Literally two people.
Hemi Neutron. Hemi Neutron. I'm built for this shit, fam. Yeah, I love that. I love that, bro.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Cool.
I'm him. That's shady.
Crazy. Him shady. Nuts.
That's funny. That's why you get the Instagram ads, by the way.
Because I'm
the conduit, right?
Yeah, there it is.
It's like the internet think tank sort of circle one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that's what I'm in it for. I like that a lot.
Who do you do it for, Zach?
They asked me. I was gonna give you like a whole like a Drake line there, but it left me.
My bed and my mama
left me. It's flashing red. Is that fine?
It's gonna explode.
I don't know. It's kind of scaring me.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah, we're almost done. I think.
I think that like the getting to do the creative part doesn't feel like work sometimes, and there's so much of this that is work. You know.
Yeah.
That's hard and sucks, and but that part doesn't feel like work. So I think that like selfishly, that's like. Getting to have any part of my work that feels not like work feels like such a unique human experience. And it like keeps like an inner child part of me alive. And I feel like that's so rare. Like I feel like very much so like, oh, that's so precious. And for as long as I could do work like that, I'd like to keep doing work like that. Mm-hmm. The community side for sure. Like, and then also beyond just like, product and sort of like making cool product, doing cool content, storytelling, brand story, this, that, and the above. I've started to find like a lot of meaning and like what it is to like do it as a team and like like really like share the experience with like, you know, three people and five people and then seven people. And I don't ever really see the brand being more than like 10 or hopefully like 15 people. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be too like, I don't want to like step on my own toes and get
your
in front of myself.
16. Fuck you.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. We like do barbecues at our warehouse on Friday and like shoot, like play knockout as a team or whatever on a little hoop. And like little stuff like that to me has become super precious in a sense where it feels like, you know what? Like even if this thing like were to like crash out tomorrow and it all goes to shit, like to get to sort of share that space, it does feel very much so like as challenging and as strenuous as a lot of this time is. And like the amount of hours that everyone puts in to pull this shit off is like not, it's so much. But I also do think I do have these thoughts sometimes that I'm like, I know that I'm going to like look back at this and be like, that was like the coolest thing ever, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's that. But yeah, I don't know. It's a mixed bag. There's often times where I'm like, oh, this shit is so tough. I do not want to do this anymore. So I'm not, it's always like a, you know, like a work in progress in the sense that like there are days where I'm like, I do not want the amount of responsibility that I have, you know? But then there are days where I feel like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to like sit in front of a computer and print out pictures of things I found on the internet and try and find some middle ground that's like my signature on product and people will buy it. Like that, I feel like undeserving in some sense of that. So it's a mixed bag, you know? But yeah. I would say that, whatever that answer was, that mixed bag. Yeah.
So before we get out of here, we do, Mike, do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay.
No,
we're going to do song of the week. We usually do it. We can all hear the song, but switchboard's being a little bit weird, so we're not going to do it.
Song of the week?
Song of the week. I'm sure you remember this.
Saul of the week. It's him.
Something you've been listening to over the past week that you've been enjoying. We added to a playlist. Michael, what's our season 9 playlist name?
I was thinking Pair of Kings, but the G is a 9. Okay. Pair of Canines.
Are both 9s?
Turn the 6
there's, what?
Upside oh, down. Jesus Christ. There's one 9 in Pair. Or there's one G in Pair of Kings. Okay. Yep.
Cool.
That'll work.
This will, of course, be coming out after the first episode.
Yeah. So I guess we'll have to have this conversation again and pretend like it happened again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there it goes.
We can fix it in post. It's fine. We'll just cut this out.
Well, Zach is looking. Yeah, you lead us off.
My song is "And the Battle Begun" by RX Bandits.
Songs, which, dude. Never heard of any
that's
of
just not weird at all. That's you're just young. You know RX Bandits? Yeah. That shit. Look, I listened to that shit in high school, and then I remembered it again. Like I had like a like "That's So Raven" zoom into my eye.
Yeah.
After like literally a decade of not listening to it.
Okay.
Shit's tight.
So I actually tried to be. I'm gonna give you like some indie answer. That way, I make sure I maintain brand here.
Shut up. You've been playing the Travis Scott album in this.
We did listen to it.
Yeah. No.
The self-fulfilling prophecy by Pretty Sick is a song that I've been really into lately.
Tight.
But I was actually gonna talk about that the Travis album for a second. I actually went into it trying to be really cynical.
Same.
I was like, oh fuck. Like I was like trying to like poke holes in it. But it's a good rap album.
Yeah,
man.
It's pretty good.
It's really fun, and yeah. And it's one of those albums that you can play. Like you could kind of put it, you could kind of spin it, and it can be in the background, or if you put on headphones and kind of come to the foreground. It's a good Travis Scott album, man. And I kind of thought we had lost him because of everything, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a good listen, man. And the art direction was really good. Like the editorial photography, the magazine stuff, it was pretty polished. Like, you know, I'm sure you could poke holes in that and find some reference work, but like. It's pretty crazy. I was impressed by it. I also was not surprised that the Pyramid concert was canceled. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
So he was supposed to launch the album by doing a concert on the Pyramids of Giza.
Why? Oh, that's fucked.
Really?
Yeah, that was the plan. He sold tickets for it at the beginning of the month.
What is he on the?
Or no, maybe not on, but like right in front. They have like a stage or whatever.
Say that's like a desecration.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was gonna say, bro. That was the craziest thing to me. I was like, "There's no way this happens." The pyramids are the oldest like religious monument in the world, maybe. If not, then like pretty close. And like, I don't even know if there's like women's rights in that part of like Egypt. It's like a very, very like conservative, deeply religious part of the world, and they don't play about it. And we're gonna have Travis Scott just like throw his
twin
like,
bitches,
like snake demons, and like I'm hard, like no thought gone into the imagery, and then we're gonna have all the conservative people be like, "This is why Travis Scott worships the devil," but then Egypt's are like, "No, we just don't play with that. Like we're not
good.
Playing." Like,
smart.
Anyways, that was just a little hot take. I thought it was pretty crazy.
You just green screen him in there. It'd be fine.
I would have been really interested to have seen that,
though. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just the imagery. But anyways. But
do another Fortnite Travis Scott concert, but this time it's at the Fortnite Pyramids of Giza.
That shit went off, though, I guess.
Yeah. Dusty, really I've heard they really don't play about the religious imagery in Dusty Depot. You cannot get away with shit there. Not in Greasy Grove.
Shut up.
I'll round this out. There's a really good song called "How Have You Ever" by Mind Freak.
Okay.
That I found. I was listening to a lot of Thai, like surf rock, surf pop, and it came up in a related radio. I don't think she's Thai, but it came up in the, you know, related once the playlist is done. It's pretty great. I've been listening to it for like 2 weeks now.
It's cool. Deep cut.
Yes.
Yep.
Deep cut.
Yeah. If you need any recommendations for Thai surf pop, let me know.
I've been wondering, actually. Yeah.
There was an old band called Jim and Swim. I mean, they still make music. I don't know why old, but I used to message them back when I had a Facebook, like every year for like 4 years.
Come to Brazil?
And no, I was literally like, "When are you going to do a concert in the U.S.?" And they're like, "Hi, we're so sorry, we're not doing concerts in the U.S. And I'd be like, "Great, talk to you next year." And then like almost a year to the day, hit them with the exact same question. They're really nice every time though. Shout out Jim and Swim.
Shout out Jim and Swim.
Yeah. Please sponsor this podcast.
I love Jim and Swim. Jim and Swim,
please come on the podcast.
Yeah. No, they're super cool. Zach, take the floor. As you well know, floor is yours. Plug whatever you want. This is going to come out in 2 weeks. So
okay. I don't really have anything to plug. Thanks for having me on this podcast. Thank you, everybody in New York who came to the pop-up shop these last 2 days. It was amazing. Yeah, thanks for having me on here, guys. It was fun.
Yeah, always. This has been the Parrot Kings podcast. Find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week not only by my wonderful co-host.
I'm Michael Smith. I'm also on Instagram at Saul Thompson. We swap out.
Nice. And I'm Zach from Basket Case. You can find me on Instagram at oddzach, and the brand is basketcase.gallery. Nice. Thanks for having me, guys.
And you will get advertisements.
Yay!
Yeah, thank you so much to everybody for listening. As always, this has been the Pair of Kings podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Pair of Kings Pod. I think YouTube, we're probably going to do with video stuff. That's also Pair of Kings podcast. What else? Do we have anything else to plug?
That's it, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much to everybody for listening and watching. We hope you have a great Thursday. This will come out on a Thursday. And as always, take care. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Sure.